It'd be all right if I take my coat off, Richard.
It's a little warm in here for me tonight, so I'm going to shed this coat. I thought about, while Brother Bud and them was singing, I thought about what Job said in Job chapter number 16. He said, "Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven and my record is on high." Amen. So God is keeping a record book. Hallelujah. You know, they used to threaten us when I was in school that we had a permanent record. Amen. But I'm glad we do have a permanent record. It's in heaven. Amen. I'm not going to preach on that tonight, but I do have a message on what's on the record. Hallelujah. I'm glad my second birth is on the record. Hallelujah. I better move on. I'll start preaching. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 6 tonight. Ephesians chapter number 6. Keep your Bibles handy. We're going to look at 3 or 4 different places tonight, but I want to start in Ephesians chapter number 6. What time you're turning there, let me say it's been a joy for me to be here today. I appreciate the nice place to stay, and I appreciate your kindness toward me. And I love you, preacher. Amen. I don't know if you know it or not, but you've got a good one. Amen. I don't say this just because I'm here, but he is one of the most humble and gracious of God's servants that it's ever been my privilege to meet. And I appreciate him, and I appreciate this place. Amen. I'm thankful. I like it when I get to come here. Amen. So I appreciate the Lord letting us come this way. All right, Ephesians chapter number 6 tonight. Now I want to begin reading in verse number 10. Very familiar passage of Scripture says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And I'll leave off reading there. And I want to preach on this subject tonight with the help of the Lord on the church's dire need. The church's dire need. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you now once again tonight for the opportunity to be in your house. It's a wonderful thing, Lord, to come into your presence. And I want to bless your name. I want to thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. God, we don't deserve it, but I sure am thankful for the long suffering and the mercy and the grace of God. Lord, I know I'm an unworthy servant, but thank God I serve a worthy King. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us now tonight to preach your word and to help your people. And I'll thank you and praise you, for you alone are worthy, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know if you are, but I am disturbed about the condition of the church. Used to, if you moved to a community for a job or whatever reason, you could find you a church. But I told Brother Wayne today, I believe those days are about over. Now you're going to have to find you a church and then find you a job or whatever. If you're going to find a good church, we're living in a day and time when you're going to have to drive to get there. Amen. I pass probably 200 churches on my way to church. Amen. But it's 45 miles one way for us to go to church. But I'm telling you, we have found a place that is a refuge and a haven where the Lord is worshiped in spirit and in truth. Amen. And so I believe it's important, the condition of the church. And what I'm seeing, first of all, is that the church is undressed for battle. He tells us here in verse number 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. So we need to be equipped or dressed for battle. Amen. We need to put on this armor that the Bible is talking about. We need to read the Word of God, and we need to be intimate with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. So we can fight this battle that we are in, as I talked about this morning. It's not a question of if we're in a war. We are in a fight. Amen. And so I don't want to be undressed for battle. I want to have on all the equipment that God would have me to have. Amen. Well, not only I see that we're undressed for battle, but I see a second thing that disturbs me about the church. We're unconcerned for the lost. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 34, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some not, have not the knowledge of the God, and I speak this to your shame." We have got to where there's no concern. Let me just ask you, I don't want you to raise your hand, but how long has it been since you shed some tears for somebody that is lost? We're living in a day of dry eyes and cold hearts, and we're on our way to heaven, and it appears to me that we don't care if anybody else goes with us or not. Do you understand how it's something we have to guard against? Do you understand? It's easy for us to get calloused and cold-hearted. And I don't know about you, but I've got lost family, amen, that I want to see saved. I've got friends that I know that I want them to go to heaven. I'm talking about people that are good people, but they don't know the Lord, amen. And the only way they're going to see Him is if you and I get a burden for the lost. I remember years ago when my dad was pastoring in Indiana, we had a lady come one Sunday and she got saved. And as she was at the front, my dad asked her, "Do you have anything you want to say?" We had a man in our church by the name of Harry Elliott, little old short guy, about 5'4", 5'6". Brother Harry was illiterate, couldn't even read and write his own name. But this lady's testimony was this. She said, "For weeks, Mr. Elliott has been coming by my house." She said, "I'd already made up my mind that I was going to cuss him out and tell him to leave me alone." And she said, "Sure enough, Saturday, about the same time he comes every week, said he came to my house. He said, when I went to the door mad, ready to cuss him out, said when I opened the door, said there stood that little short, bald-headed man with tears running down his face. And he said this, 'I just came to ask you one more time, won't you go to church with me?'" And she came that morning and got saved. You know why? Because she saw the broken heart of that man for her soul. Amen. And I'm saying you and I need to get to the point where we are brokenhearted once more. Hey, people don't care what you know until they know that you care about them. And so you and I need to show that compassion. Hey, Jesus beheld the city, and the Bible said that He wept over them. Amen. Hey, we need to weep our way to God once again for sinners. Amen. Hey, we need to get so concerned over them that we spend some time, some intimate time with the Lord, beseeching the throne room of God on their behalf. Hey, I believe God can track them down. I don't care how bad they are. I don't care how wicked they are. I don't care what kind of sin they're involved in. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that can run them down. Amen. Unconcerned for the lost. And then I see that we're unprepared for Christ's return. Here's what He said in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 28. "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. I was witnessing or talking to a fellow the other day that believes you can lose your salvation. You say, well, preacher, do you believe once saved, always saved? No, I believe if saved, always saved. I believe if you ever get it one time, you can't get rid of it. Amen. And he said, I don't believe that. I said, well, I can tell you right now, if I believed what you believed, I'd live a lot better than you do. Amen. Do you understand what I'm telling you? But I'm saying to those of us who are saved, we're unprepared for Christ's return. Let me just ask you the question tonight. If Christ was to come back tonight, before we got out of this service, is there anything in your life that you wouldn't want to meet Him with? Unprepared for Christ's return. Hey, we ought to live every day looking for Him. Do you understand? Well, that's the condition that we're in. And now I want to talk about the church's dire need. Turn to Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12. So what do we need? I believe we ought to... I've talked about the shape we're in, but I believe we ought to give some instruction about how we can get out of the shape we're in. Amen. So here in Genesis chapter number 12, I see, first of all, that we need the presence of God like Abraham had. Amen. Here's what it said in chapter number 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. By the way, I still believe that. Amen. I believe God blesses them that bless Israel, and God curses them that curse Israel. Hey, every time America has done something contrary to the interest of Israel, there's been a major disaster in this country right on the heels of that. Amen. And so I'm saying, I believe we still ought to be, when we cease to be a friend of Israel, we're through. Amen. He goes on to say, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now look at verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Now, I'm simply saying what the church needs is God's presence like Abraham had. Amen. Hey, we've got to where we can do church without God. Amen. We have our music. We have our outlines. We have our preaching. Amen. But we don't have God. Amen. Hey, I'm ashamed to say it, but there's places where they wouldn't know God if He walked in the back door. Amen. They know absolutely nothing about the presence of God. Hey, I'm glad that I know when He's here and when He ain't here. Amen. Hey, and I desire His presence. I don't want to hang around someplace where He ain't. Amen. I told a fellow the other day, the church he's going to quit using the King James Bible. He said, what do you think about it? I said, leave. I said, God ain't there. When they start messing with God's Word, I said, God ain't within 1,000 miles of that place. Get out of there. Amen. I said, find you some place where God's presence is, where it manifests Himself, and you're aware that He's there. Amen. We need God's presence. Let me say this. God's presence brings life. Verse number 1, it said, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Hey, thank God for the day He reached down where I was at. Amen. And brought me out. Amen. And He gave me life. You know, there's an old song that says, I just began to live. I just began to live. When Jesus Christ came in my life, I just began to live. Old things are passed away. Behold, a brighter day. My name is written up above. above, I just began to live. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm saying God's presence brings life. You don't know why so many churches are dying? Because they have no presence of God. Amen. God's presence brings life. He said this in John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He said in 1 John, he said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm glad that I know His presence and when it's around. Amen. Hey, He'll track you down. Do you understand? And I'm telling you that when we get born again, that life comes in and begins to dwell inside of us. Amen. There's no... Hey, let me say this. I don't regret one moment of being saved. Do you understand? These people testify sometimes it's almost like they missed their old life. Hey, I got news for you. I didn't have nothing then, and I don't have anything to go back to. Amen. Who wants that bunch of garbage? Amen. Hey, we got life when we got born again. Well, God's presence brings life. But then I see this. God's presence brings liberty. Amen. This bunch that believes that we as Christians are bound, that tickles me. They're the ones that are in bondage. You and I are the ones that have been set free. Amen. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I remember I had a young man come to the altar one night, and he said to me, he said, Preacher, I believe what you said. He said, I believe I'm going to hell. He said, I know I need to be saved. He said, but there's some things that I'm just not willing to give up. I said to him, just get saved. You don't have to give nothing up. Two nights later, he came to me. He said, you tricked me. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you knew if I got saved, I wouldn't want to do them things. Hey, I'm saying when God comes inside, our want to changes. Do you understand? Hey, I believe you can do anything you want to as a Christian. It's just that my want to's have changed. Amen. Hey, I don't believe this crowd that can live in sin and not be bothered by it. I don't believe they've ever been saved. Amen. I'm not saying a Christian can't sin. I'm saying he can't do it and be happy. Amen. I'm saying you and I have liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He said in Galatians chapter number 5, in verse number 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hey, I was a servant to sin and a servant to the devil, but when I got born again, I got set free. Amen. I'm no longer in bondage. I was witnessing to a guy one time. He told me, he said, you're a slave to the Lord. And the whole time he's talking to me, he's standing there smoking one of them cancer sticks. I said, well, I said, I'd rather be a slave to the Lord than something 3 inches long. I said, you're the one that's in bondage and you don't even know it. I said, the devil's got you and he's making a fool out of you. Amen. Hey, I said, the best life in the world is the Christian life. Amen. Hey, we're free. Do you understand? We have liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God's presence brings life. God's presence brings liberty. God's presence brings light. Amen. He said there in verse number 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He tells us 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. He said in Psalms chapter number 119, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Hey, I'm saying that the presence of the Lord, when we don't know what to do, hey, I'm glad that He knows what to do. Amen. Every question that we have in life, how to raise your family, how to be good to your spouse, how to run a business, everything that we need answers for in life is written in this book. Amen. You can find the answer. If you'll search the book, God will give you light. Amen. Hey, not only that, He'll send His Spirit to guide and direct you. Amen. Hey, but not only that, He'll give you a man of God. Hey, I can't tell you the times that I went to church and the man of God has preached right where I'm at. Amen. I had a guy tell me one day on the way out the back door, he really caught me off guard. He said, "You're a peeping Tom." And I've been called a lot of things, but never a peeping Tom. I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Everything I've been doing at my house, you preached on. You've been looking in my windows." It wasn't me looking in his windows, it was the Holy Spirit looking in his windows. Amen. Hey, I'm saying God will give us exactly what we need. Amen. I'm telling you, I've drug in church being so low that I could sit on a piece of cigarette paper and swing my feet, and the man of God get up and minister to my soul, and I leave there ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Amen. Because God has met my need. He's given me light right at the point that I needed it. Amen. Well, we need God's presence like Abraham had. I don't know about you, but I'm sure Brother Wayne does. He wants this to be a place where God's presence is welcome. Not only that, but he wants this to be a place where God's presence is felt. Amen. Do you understand? Hey, let me say this. I want lost people to come to church and feel welcome. But I don't want them to come to church and feel comfortable. Amen. I want saved people who are not where they're supposed to be. I want you to come, but I don't want you to be able to sit there and not get right with the Lord. Amen. You know, most of the time, what we have problems with is not great big sins. Most of the time, it's little bitty sins that take care of us. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Well, I see that we need the presence of God like Abraham had. Turn to James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5. And let's begin reading in verse number 16. Said, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Well, not only do we need the presence of God like Abraham had, but we need the power of God like Elijah had. We need the power of God like Elijah had. Hey, we have such powerless churches and such powerless lives because we're not where we're at. We're not where we need to be in relationship to the Lord. Hey, I don't know about you, but I don't want to just go through the motions. I want to have a powerful life with God. Amen. And let me say that I believe you and I can have that kind of life. It's not that God's changed. It's that we've changed. We're no longer where we once were. Amen. It's kind of like the old man and the old woman driving down the road, and they meet the young couple that are dating, and you know how it is when you're dating, it takes two of you to drive both right underneath the steering wheel. Well, the old man and the old woman, they're in the pickup truck, and she looks across the cab and says to him, "We used to do that." And the old man looks back and said, "I hadn't moved." We're laughing and it is funny. But I got news for you. If you're not where you once were in your relationship with God, it's not because God's moved. It's because we've moved. Hey, Brother Bud, when I first got right with God, I didn't want to go to work. All I wanted to do was read my Bible. I'm telling you, the only thing I want to do is talk to people about the Lord and read the Word of God and go to church. If there was a revival within 100 miles, I was driving there. Do you understand what I'm telling you? There was a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. And I'm telling you, if we're not careful, we'll let that, we'll grow accustomed to it. Do you understand what I'm telling you? And we'll forget the power of God. Hey, we've got to the point where the cross doesn't even move us anymore. We can talk about it, and there's no weeping, no tears. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I saw an advertisement the other day for a new movie coming out called Risen. I remember a few years ago when a movie came out called The Passion of Christ. I didn't watch it, but I want to say this. We ought not let Hollywood dictate to us, amen. They don't know nothing about the resurrection of the Lord. They don't know nothing about why He died, that you and I, He died for our sins, that we might be born again. And it's a shame and a disgrace that it takes Hollywood to move us to tears anymore. I'm talking about having a power of God like Elijah had. I see that he had controlling power that glorified God. Look at verse number 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Hey, I said God hadn't changed. I believe it's us who've changed. Years ago, I was supposed to be in Pennsylvania. 3 weeks before I got there, the pastor called me. He said, "Preacher, our church has burned to the ground." He said, "I was wondering if you'd come preach in a tent." I said, "I'd be glad to." So they set a tent up on the church parking lot. And I don't understand this, but there are people that will come to a tent that will not come in a church building. I don't know why. I don't understand that. That's just the way it is. But anyway, we was having a great meeting, and there was a bunch of lost people coming. And Thursday night in particular, we had a house full of lost people. I mean, there's probably 25, 30 lost people in there. And it began to rain. I mean, I'm talking about one of them downpours. And the wind began to blow insomuch that the men of the church were standing around holding the poles of that tent down. And I told that preacher, I got up and walked. We got up and walked behind the platform. And I said, "Preacher, there's a bunch of lost people here tonight." And I said, "They ain't going to hear nothing with this rain going on." I said, "Let's get down here and pray." Me and that preacher got down there and I said, "Lord," I said, "you know there's a bunch of lost people here tonight, and this may be the only opportunity that they ever have to hear the gospel. And God, there's not going to be anything done unless you do something about this weather. And God, I sure would appreciate it. I know you're able to. God, Elijah prayed and it didn't rain. And God, I'm asking you." And I had no sooner got it out of my mouth than it quit raining. And the wind quit blowing. We had about 7 or 8 people saved that night. And when we said the last amen, son, I'm telling you, the bottom fell out. You say, "Preacher, there's just coincidence." You believe whatever you want to, but I believe there's an almighty God in heaven that still hears and answers prayer. And I'm telling you that we have that kind of God that can control, amen. He can control the weather. Hallelujah. Hey, I can tell you illustration after illustration after illustration tonight of things just like that. Here's what the Bible said in Jeremiah 33:3. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is His name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee,
and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hey, you and I ought not be surprised. Amen. Hey, when God answers prayer, hey, we ought not be like that woman in the Bible that goes to answer the door. And they've been praying that God would protect Peter and that God would set him free. And Peter's knocking at the door and she didn't even let him in. She went and told everybody else. Amen. Hey, we ought not be surprised when God hears and answers prayer. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Let me tell you about my first encounter with this matter of prayer. The first real encounter that I remember ever having, we had moved to Indiana, and my brother asked my dad if we could go to Disney World. This is back in the 70s. And my dad told my brother, he said, we don't have the money to go to Disney World. He said, but if you pray and God sends it in, we'll go. And I can remember as a teenager walking by, my brother's 4 years younger than I am. He was probably about 8, maybe 9 years old. And I can remember walking by his room, Brother Allen, and I'd hear him in there praying to God about going to Disney World. And I thought, God don't care nothing about us going to Disney World. You're stupid. Huh? And that went on for 2 or 3 weeks. My brother prayed. Every night he'd pray that God would send in the money so we'd go Disney World. One day I came in, we came in from school, and my daddy called us in the front room. He said, boys, go pack your bags. He said, the check is coming in the mail. We're going to Disney World. There was a guy that we knew in the military in Portugal had sent us a check in the mail, and it took that long to get there. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about if it's important to you, it's important to God. Do you understand? Hey, God can do anything He wants to do. Amen. The controlling power of God that glorified God. Amen. And then the communicating power that enlisted God. Look at verse number 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. Hey, Elijah had so much power with God that he prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. But he had such a relationship that 3.5 years later, he prayed and it rained. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Well, here's what it said in John 14:13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Why is it we try everything else before we ever go to God? Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm interested in this matter of enlisting God. Hey, if we'll pray and communicate to God, hey, God knows everything already. Amen. The Bible says that He knows what we have need of even before we ask. Amen. So if we'll learn to communicate with Him. Amen. Hey, the Bible said that Abraham talked to Him face to face, or Moses, as a man speaketh to his friend. I want to be that kind of person that communicates with God as friend to friend. Hallelujah. I want to talk to Him just like I'm talking to you. You understand what I'm telling you? This communicating power that enlists God. Hey, I don't want to have to get prayed up to get a prayer through. I want to stay in a relationship with God where I can get through when I need to. Amen. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I want to have that kind of power. You know, there are some people that I have a lot of confidence in. And when I need to get a prayer through, that's who I call. Amen. When I get in such bad shape myself that I'm having trouble getting a prayer above my head, I know y'all don't ever get there, but I get there. Amen. Where it ain't getting no higher than the top of my head, I call some people and I have them pray for me. Amen. Hey, and I want to be, not only know those people, but I want to be that person. Amen. That people call and want you to pray for them. You know, a lot of times people will come out and they'll say, preacher, pray for me. A few years ago, I took to doing this. Some people would meet me out in public or whatever, and they'd say, preacher, we want you to pray about this. And if I didn't pray about it right then, I'd forget it. So I just took the bow in my head right where we was at and praying. Amen. Right then. Hey, I'm telling you, it'll make a big difference in your prayer life if you'll do that. Well, and then conquering power that vindicated God's servant. Hey, I'm telling you right now, Elijah said it wasn't going to rain. They said they looked for him all over the place, but they couldn't find him till God got ready. Do you understand? For him to be revealed. Amen. Hey, and when he prayed, he got all them prophets of Baal and prophets of the grove up there, and he let them pray all day long to their God. In fact, he got to making fun of them. Said, maybe your God's on vacation. Amen. Maybe he's taking a nap. Finally, he told them, said, get out of the way. It's my turn. Amen. Hey, and he prayed, and after he'd had that altar soaked down with water, he prayed and fire fell out of heaven and consumed the altar, the sacrifice, the stones, and licked up all the water in the trench. Amen. Hey, that's power with God. Amen. I want to have that kind of power with God. Hey, you and I are not victims, we're victors. We are more than conquerors. That's what the Bible said. He said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. By the way, you know what happened to that crowd that stood against Him? They took them down to the brook Kidron and made a non-profit organization out of them. Amen. They cut all their heads off. Hey, I'm saying to you and I, we need the power of God like Elijah had. We need the presence of God like Abraham had. Turn to the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter number 1. I'm about done. You about had all you can stand for one night anyway. We need the power of God like Elijah had. We need the presence of God like Abraham had. I'm talking about the church's dire need. But then we need some people of God like Ruth was. Ruth chapter number 1 and verse number 14. They lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and unto her gods, return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left off speaking. Hey, the church's dire need is we need some people of God to be like Ruth was. You say, well, preacher, how was Ruth? Ruth had an undivided loyalty. Look here in verse number 14. They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Hey, we need some people that's got an undivided loyalty. I got news for you. This ain't Burger King. You can't have it your way. You know what we've got in our day and time? We got people that want to hang on to the church with one hand and hang on to the world with the other hand. Hey, I got news for you. It don't work that way. Amen. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Hey, you need to make up your mind whether you're going to serve the Lord or whether you're going to be a servant of Satan. But you need to make up your mind and do one or the other. Amen. An undivided loyalty. I don't know about you, but Satan, all he ever desired to do and all he ever tried to do was destroy my life and wreck and ruin it. Amen. And God, all He's ever done for me is save me and wanted the very best for me. I don't know about you, but I plan on serving Him. Amen. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. I want an undivided loyalty. Well, I see not only that she had an undivided loyalty, but I see she had an unshakable desire. Look at verse number 18. It said, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her. Then she left off speaking unto her. Hey, she had an unshakable desire. Hey, something inside of her. She said, I'm leaving all my gods behind. She said, I'm leaving all my family behind. From now on, you're my family. Amen. And where you go, I'm going to go. Where you die, I'm going to die. She had a desire. Thy God shall be my God. Amen. She had a desire in her to serve God and live for God. I've been praying. Lord, I want to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. I want to draw nigh to God, and in doing so, He'll draw nigh to us. Let me say this. You start praying them kind of prayers, you better get ready, because there's going to be a fight. The devil's not going to give up. Do you understand? I wonder how much it take. How much would it take to make you quit tonight? Job said this, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Amen. And then I see that she had an unfeigned faith. Look at verse number 16. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Hey, this unfeigned faith. She had a faith that buried her past. Amen. Hey, I got news for you. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I wish to be. I'm not even what I hope to be. But thank God, because of the cross of Christ, I'm not what I was. Amen. I want to have that kind of faith. Do you understand? Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. A few years ago, I was preaching in Ohio, and the town prostitute came to church. She came forward one night during that meeting, and the pastor's wife and another lady got down there and was talking to her, and I kept seeing her shake her head no. And I got interested in what was going on. So I got down there where she is at, and I said, ma'am, would you like to be saved? And I never will forget what she said to me. God can't save somebody like me. I've done too much and went too far. I said, ma'am, I said, there was a lady in the Bible that had had five husbands. I said, and the man she's living with wasn't her husband. I said, but one day she met the Lord at the well. I said, and He saved her. I said, there was a woman caught in the very act of adultery. I said, and they brought her to Jesus. And Jesus stooped down and wrote in the sand. And all of them, one by one, went out. I said, but Jesus said unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? She said, none, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I said, the Apostle Paul, I said, wrote 13 books of our New Testament. I said, he hunted Christians down and put them to death. I said, but one day he had a divine encounter on the road to Damascus, and the Lord saved him. And she said, oh yes, I want to be saved. And she got born again. Hey, I'm saying you can't go too far that God can't save you. Amen. Hey, she had a faith that buried her past. Hey, you and I may remember what we used to be, but God don't remember what we used to be. And you don't need to let the devil beat you to death with what the past is. She had a faith that buried her past. She had a faith that broke the barriers of the present. Amen. She went with her mother-in-law. And when she came home from gleaning in the fields, her mother-in-law said, where in the world have you been gleaning today? Amen. And she told her, she said, oh, he's of near kin to us. Amen. Hey, she had a faith. Do you understand that she was a Gentile dog? Amen. But the Bible put her in the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, we have a faith that can break the barriers. Do you understand? Of the present, if we will simply believe God and trust God, there is no barrier that cannot be broken. And then I see she had a faith that buys the blessings of the future. She had a faith that bought the blessings of the future. You think about it, Naomi had lost her husband, lost her sons. She had Ruth, and she'd even made a statement that she couldn't have any more kids for her to return. And Ruth said, "No, I'm going with you." And when we get down to the last chapter of the book of Ruth, we see that old woman sitting there rocking a baby. Amen. Do you understand? And she said, "Blessed be the God who has not left off His blessings in the land of the living." Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, faith can buy the blessings of the future if we will trust God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you tonight, but God's looking for some. Amen. Hey, God's looking for some people like Abraham that want His presence. Hey, I don't know about you, but I think it'd be a pretty great honor to be called the friend of God. That's what Abraham was called. Hey, He's looking for some people like Elijah. I tell you right now, I don't believe it's going to be preachers that are going to have the greatest places in heaven. I believe it might be some little old white-haired ladies that I've known that have been able to get a hold of the horns of the altar and pray the power of God down. I heard a preacher friend of mine tell this story, Brother Ed Blue. He said he took a church and God was blessing. Man, people was getting saved and the church was growing. He said, "I got to thinking to myself, well, man, you're a pretty good preacher." He said, one Friday night, he said, "I went by the church for something." He said, "When I went in," he said, "I heard somebody talking." He had a boy in his church that was mentally handicapped. He said, "The closer I got," said, "that boy was laying up on the platform behind the pulpit, and he was begging God to bless his preacher and begging God to save sinners." Brother Ed said, "I crawled into my office." He said, "I felt lower than I'd ever felt in my life." He said, "I knew then it wasn't me, but God was hearing the prayers of that boy and answering prayer." Hey, I'm telling you, me and this preacher can't do it by ourselves. We have to have help. Do you understand? We need some people to hold up the arms of the man of God. And then we need some people like Ruth. Hey, the preacher, if you're not here, he ought to know there's something bad wrong and come looking for you. Amen. We need some undivided loyalty. Amen. There ought not be any question. I don't want people to walk by my casket and wonder where I'm at. Do you understand what I'm telling you? There's people that I know, people in my own family, if they were to die tonight, I have no assurance that they would go to heaven. You understand what I'm telling you? There's not enough evidence in their life to prove that they know the Lord. Hey, I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be a person of God that people know that I know the Lord, that I have faith in Him. Do you understand? Hey, I'm telling you tonight, that's what we need. And I want to be that person. I thought about what Samuel said. "Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth." I thought about what Isaiah said. "Here am I, Lord, send me." Hey, I'm telling you, we're in dire need. And this is what we need if God's going to help us. Hey, I'm telling you right now, things ain't going to get no easier from here to the end. I believe they're going to get a lot worse. Do you understand? I believe it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And I thought about what the Lord said. He said, when I come, shall I find faith on earth?" I don't know about you, but I want to be one of these people. I want to know Him that way.
I said earlier, I love you, preacher. I've never been to his house, but I'm familiar enough with Brother Wayne that if I went to his house, I wouldn't expect him to wait on me. I'd just walk in the kitchen if I wanted something to drink and help myself. I believe that I know him well enough that I could do that. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Hey, some people are acquainted with God, but they do not have a close personal relationship with the Lord. And I want that close personal relationship with God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the preaching of the Word of God tonight. Master, I do pray that you would help us. God, put a desire in us for the things of God. God, help us, Lord, to get broken over lost people. God, to get broken over our own sin. Lord, you said it's time that judgment must begin at the house of God. God, like I said earlier, I don't believe it's big sins that we struggle with. Most of it's little sins, God. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to commit every area to you in our life. God, help us to win the lost. God, I pray, Lord, that you would give us the ability to stand for you. Help us to put on the armor. Lord, you have your will and your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can stand to your feet. Our sister, can you come play for us, please?